We'll talk with Josh about his latest engine rebuild and some of the things he discovered along the way. And again, my condolences, Josh.
Well, the dead hooker was already in there, I swear.
I thought he'd learned how to work on Jeeps.
Well, hey, Jeeper, I'm Josh, and on this episode of the Jeep Talk Show, we've got a bunch of Jeep stuff to get to, but first, would you ever abandon your Jeep? Wait till you hear the circumstances that caused one New York Jeeper to do just that. And if one abandoned Jeep wasn't enough, we've got two. The second one is 1,100 miles to the east, however, and this one is even stranger. And later in the show, we're going to talk about my 3-year engine build and where I'm at with it right now. Excuse me, sir, I believe you left something behind. Now, who among us hasn't had the urge, or gets one every time you drive the Jeep, to just suddenly veer off the road and start making your own trails in that grove of trees over there, or that one giant, muddy, empty lot in that one industrial park? You know the one I'm talking about. We all know of at least one or two spots within a short drive of where we live or work that if the conditions were right and you absolutely knew you could get away with it, we would wheel the snot out of it, if even just for a moment. Am I right? Not Chuck, you don't count because you have your own trails. But Tony, Tony, I know that in your years that we've been together, you've had various commutes and stuff. There's got to be a spot that has been on your radar that's like, well, if nobody was looking, I would head right over there and do this one thing.
So my oldest daughter was with me in the XJ. It was shortly after putting the lift kit and getting the tires and stuff on it. And I think we went over to Red Robin to eat, just her and I. And yeah. On our way back, they were doing some construction next to the road, and there was like this big ditch. I think it was going to be a runoff reservoir or something. And they had at least a 4-foot, and I'm serious, at least a 4-foot high pile of clay and dirt that they had pulled out. It was kind of blocking like a road type thing. I mean, it was actually a place where you could pull in. I don't remember what it was for, but they kind of had it blocking the thing. And I went, okay, challenge accepted. I had a Jeep. I had just put this stuff on it. Damn it. I want to take it off road. So, on the driver's side, I took the lower side of the hump, and on the passenger side, I took the higher side, you know? So yeah. I remember looking up at her. And the sheer look of terror,
like holding onto the door
on her face,
she's looking down at you,
looking at me, saying, "Dad, you've always protected me. I'm trying to trust you. I really am." And we went up and over that, and drove around a little bit in the construction area, and then came back and drove with the same thing to get out back to the road. So yes, she remembers that very well. She was like maybe 13, 12. Oh.
Very impressionable.
Yes.
Good job.
Yes.
Good job.
And she hates heights. So, but it was so funny looking up at her, at least at a 45 degree angle. It was so weird.
Oh, too good. Too good. Now, obviously, doing that sort of thing is, of course, illegal as all hell and in bad form for anybody who thinks it's a good idea to keep access as open as possible to public land for the sake of off-roading. Besides, Jeepers don't need any bad reputation and stuff like that.
But Josh, I have a podcast.
Yes, it is.
I have a podcast. Well, it's okay.
Okay.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. No, Josh is kind of a big deal.
There's this wildlife management area in Dutchess County, and out in the New York area, and somebody had ditched their Jeep in there, this Tivoli Bays Wildlife Management Area in Dutchess County. From what I understand, there's a bunch of walking trails and stuff, and this is like a wildlife preservation area, and it's not like where you're going to find cheetahs and giraffes and stuff like that, but, you know, they have habitats all set up for, you know, the birds and the owls and the turtles and, you know, things like that, for it to be, you know, a protected space for wildlife to flourish and stuff in that area. And of course, for the public to enjoy it with walking their dogs and running and that sort of thing. Well, somebody decided to use those walking trails as Jeep trails. Didn't work out so well for them. And it looks to be this Jeep is a late model year TJ era Wrangler, if I'm not mistaken, probably in, I'm guessing 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. It looks like it's, you know, been taken care of, you know. It's been modified, at least. It's got wheels and tires. I think those are all terrains, though. Definitely not mud terrains, judging by how they got stuck and where. Possibly a budget boost, I'm not sure. Definitely got a different bumper than stock on there, slightly modified, at least. They got some headlights, you know, some off-road lights, headlight mod and stuff like that. Somebody cared enough for this Jeep to spend some money on it, modify it, right? I mean, you guys are seeing this for yourself, and we got the picture of this Jeep actually stuck in the trails in this wildlife area, and looks like just in the middle of the wilderness. Here's this Jeep all of a sudden. And so, you know, this is state-owned land, and in New York, at least, it's illegal to wheel on state-owned land. You can't do that. And especially true with a wildlife management area, and it's all protected land and stuff. You can't do that. So forest rangers stumbled across this Jeep. Don't know how long it had been there, but here's this Jeep. So they call in a big tow truck capable of off-road recovery. One problem, though. The rangers can't find the owner of the Jeep, at least according to the reports that I was reading and stuff. They cannot track down the person who owns this Jeep. So I'm guessing either the registered owner no longer lives at the address that was associated with the registration. Maybe the actual owner died. I don't know. But it didn't say the Jeep was stolen. The Jeep was not reported stolen. So there's that. It's not like somebody woke up, hey, where's my Jeep? Oh, somebody left it in the middle of the woods in this area in New York. Yeah, no, it's not like that. So if this person did own this Jeep and tried to go wheel it, they didn't make it very far. They abandoned their Jeep, and they're nowhere to be found. Maybe they're still out there. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No winch. So I'm figuring this person said, I don't need a winch. I won't get stuck.
No, there's no winch. It's assholes like this that fuck it up for everybody else. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, there's so many places that you can go. Don't go in a protected wildlife area on a walking trail with a Jeep that is obviously not really designed. I mean, it's modified a little bit, but it's just lights before lockers type modification.
Yeah.
I mean, don't be the asshole that fucks it up for everybody else. Like, I would like to grab this guy and just kick him in the junk.
Have been a Toyota, right?
Yeah.
Right. God damn it, dude.
They probably figured a Toyota wouldn't make it. That's why.
So they bring in this huge freaking dually F-550 or something tow truck to come get this guy out of there. Managed to drag him out of the woods. Got him pulled out. And so they have this Jeep. They've got a registered owner, a name at least, but nothing else. This person doesn't exist, or they're not around anymore. That's something. So I don't know.
There's no way strange. I'd want my Jeep not claiming my Jeep. You know, I'll take the charges.
That's where I'm leading with this. I mean, yeah, what kind of circumstances would lead either one of you to just, that's my Jeep. I know I was wheeling it illegally. They're going to find out whose Jeep it was, but I'm going to just leave it here. This is my vehicle. I'm going to leave it here. I mean, that's any given day, I don't care how much rust is on that thing. That's a $10,000 Jeep right there. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just leave $10,000 in the woods. I'm sorry.
But I have a hard time with this because I'm not an asshole that trespasses. You know, I grew up in the desolation wilderness of California. Like, I understand what it is to care about the environment. You know, I mean, you have to be careful of it. Now I live in Kansas. There is no public land. And I went a very long time without being able to wheel because I didn't own anything and I live in Kansas. I'm not an asshole that's just going to go off to some place and then leave my shit out there.
Yeah.
Like, I have a very hard time just even standing where this guy's mentality or female's mentality is. Like, what the hell's wrong with you, man?
No, 100%. Now, Chuck, I am remembering a story told not all that long ago by you where you had left. I mean, now, granted, the circumstances are slightly different, but you had left the Jeep in a farm field and came back for it later or something along those lines. How wrong am I on this?
No, you're 100% right. So what happened was that's when Nathan, my oldest son, blew the motor And I drop kicked my Jeep right off the side of the road into Richard.
So who there I was are circumstances where a Jeep would be abandoned. So
I'm for the dude for a living. I was cowboying, and I kicked that shit off into a hay field. Right. I mean, it's just that, like you say, it's just Kansas, right? I mean, it's like wheeling on a pancake, right? So it was not that big of a deal. I did not go into protected forest lands
there's a distinct and marked difference. 100%.
So I'm just going to go out on a limb. I know how Chuck is about honor. He's going to kick himself in the nuts as soon as the show's over.
I never should have told him about that story. God dang it.
And on to Josh's XJ.
Oh, it's getting uncomfortable.
Oh, good time.
See, you're
good
saying time. All this. You're saying all this stuff, Chuck, about kicking the nuts, and I can't believe assholes would do this. I was just talking about how I did this. Not a protected land, but in a construction area.
That's a construction area.
Well, no, but you didn't leave it there. And obviously, you know, all that fresh laden cement that you ruined, they had to deal with that the next day.
So here's the deal, Tony. If you ever come out to, you know, the central states, and I'm sitting there and I watch your giant red gladiator Jeep come through and just start doing donuts, I will freaking laugh. Like, absolutely. And I'll charge your ass to, like, grade the dirt and you'll giggle at me.
Oh, if I can use some of your heavy equipment, I'd love to do that. That sounds like fun. I'd love to work the heavy equipment. I mean, it's like Tonka, but in real life.
It's no harm, no foul. But here's the deal. The environmentalists in this place, this is the ammunition that they need to shut all the freaking shits down, man. I'm not trying to poo-poo on a funny time, but, like, God damn it, you freaking dumbass. These people are looking for reasons to say, hey, that modified rig over there, that's the devil.
I've made this really clear, even in this isn't going to get me any brownie points. I've made this really clear, even in interviews with people that are part of Tread Lightly. When we were young and dumb, we would rut people's yards, friends' yards. You know, there was toilet paper.
Those lawn jobs. Yeah.
And we would take our four-wheel drives or something that approaches that we thought we wouldn't get stuck, and we would rut their yard. I mean, deep and bad. And that's not Tread Lightly. I mean, it's criminal. And we would take our off-road vehicles wherever the hell we wanted to because they're off-road vehicles. And I think it is just dumb that we're going to bruise a rock or make a trench or something like that. So these environmentalists, they're really looking for ways that they can keep us from doing things short of eliminating us from the planet. I mean, let's just get right down to it. The environmentalists people are bad, and we need a lot less of them.
Correct. 100% right.
And I don't agree with that. I mean,
you're not.
When was the last time the Earth did anything for us? That's what I'm saying.
Well, if you'd like to see the pictures of this Jeep
anyway,
out of the mud and out of this wildlife protected wildlife area, be sure to head over to jeeptalkshow.com. Look for the link. Look for episode 752, and you can find all these pictures and, just view along with us as you're listening to this episode. And of course, you can do that with any episode you're listening to the Jeep Talk Show. We always have some visual aids to go along with things. So when you're over at the Jeep Talk Show website and you're listening to an episode, be sure to click on the show notes so that you can follow along.
Wow, our time's almost up, and we haven't even played the intro yet.
And be sure to stay tuned to the Jeep Talk Show for the latest news from the Jeep world twice a week.
Are you ready?
It's the Jeep Talk Show with Wendy.
There will be body damage.
Chuck.
I like making people laugh. It's good for my soul.
Chuck.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And Joey.
I think that's a huge deal.
So sit back, strap in, and brace yourself.
This is Chuck, and I've begun the new spring conversion on the Scrambler. Only 3 more years to go, and I should be back on the road.
Hi, I'm Tony, and we'll talk more about the criminal I'm just going criminal. I said it right. Mischief that was done to the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator. So stay with us to the end. Oh, and we might be able to wedge in a little XJ, Josh XJ, back on the road running, possibly. Information we talked about and promised you more information on.
But let's get back to the news.
Local Jeep news, national Jeep news, and news from around the world. It's This Week in Jeep.
From New York, we go to Iowa now, where in the town of Davenport, residents woke up to a slightly modified waterfront. It appeared as if somebody driving a WJ-era Grand Cherokee decided to ignore the fact that the road came to a T, blew right through the intersection, kept going through the park, and then through a guardrail and into the Mississippi River. Not one single skid mark or sign of any braking maneuver at all. It's almost as if they intended to see if this Grand Cherokee was watertight. Somebody had been watching too much Inspector Gadget, Johnny Quest, or some James Bond, maybe.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Now, in the pictures that we'll have in the show notes for this episode at JeepTalkShow.com, just head over to JeepTalkShow.com, look at the show notes for episode 752, and you can see what we're seeing and follow along. Now, I've got a question, Tony, because this Jeep is sitting in the water with the nose facing back towards
the shore. I noticed that. You think they went in backwards?
How the hell did they pull off the 180, dude? That's what I want to know.
Maybe they left the wheels turned and the current turned it around. Yeah, I saw that. That was really strange. But the damage is on the front, so they had to have gone through it forward, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I saw as well. Now, this Jeep is not reported stolen as well. So this
same owner.
You know, what is going on over there? So clearly something was happening. There's no injuries reported. Nobody ended up in the hospital immediately after this or anything like that. There was no body that was found. At least that was in the Jeep. There was nobody inside the Jeep. No evidence of anybody that, you know, like, there's blood all over the inside of this thing or something like that. No, nothing like that. They did, however, discover footsteps in the dirt leading away from the broken railing. So
they don't have to wait 3 days for a floater then.
Well, here's also what I'm wondering, though. If you guys look at the embankment in which this thing drove off of, that's not just a shoreline. That's a steep wall.
Wow.
I mean, that's like a flood barrier or something like that. So I don't know about you, but I don't think that I could reach the top of that. I'm 6'2", 6'3", somewhere around there. Especially after in the middle of the night, having just climbed out of a Jeep in the water. How the hell did they climb up that thing? I don't know.
Well, you got to figure that they were somehow impaired when they did it, possibly, and definitely impaired once they landed in the water. Because, I mean, there's a shoreline there of sorts that looks like it's at least 10 or 15 feet, and I'm sure the water doesn't immediately get deep.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Now, police did say they found a purse near the crash site.
Oh no.
Now, they're not identifying.
Well, Chuck, you drive with a purse, don't you?
Oh, God.
Oh, every day. Yeah. It's called a satchel.
Hold your beer.
It's a satchel.
The merce.
Damn it.
Man.
Indiana Jones had one. Why can't I have one?
That's right.
Because you don't have a whip.
Don't judge.
How do you know, Josh? Have you gone to bed with me?
I talked to your wife.
I was wondering why you disappeared from the bunk of the last JTS event, Josh. You gave me some sort of lame excuse with a big smile on your face. Yeah.
So the police are obviously not identifying the owner of the purse or the Jeep at this time, and they're not saying whether or not the two are even connected, because what came to my mind was maybe this Jeep was stolen, just hasn't been reported yet because they don't know or something like that. And maybe there was a purse in the Jeep when it was stolen or something like that. Or maybe they used the Jeep to steal the purse. I don't know. Whatever. But nonetheless, there could be a link there. We don't know this yet. Now, there was a recovery crew. The Jeep was recovered. They managed to get a big old wrecker out there and recover this thing. The company was doing that was called Fred's Towing. And they did not know what the F they were doing. Now, I mean, I'm no seasoned wrecker. I don't have a tow truck license. I've never even operated one of those things. But I know a thing or two about rigging. We've got a crane truck with the fleet I work with, and I know a few things about recovery. This I know as much. I know this much is that you don't recover a vehicle like this with a single point. It would be at least a 2-point recovery for the sake of stability. As they are dragging this Jeep up out of the water, it's on its side. It's on the roof. They're dragging this, I mean, every panel across the lake, the riverbed, against the shoreline, against the wall, everything. I mean,
Christ, she's a spinner, boys.
this Jeep had enough front end damage as it was, and then they add a whole bunch of insult to injury. So I've got to take Fred's towing to task on this. They just simply brought out the biggest Yahoo they could to do this, and the guy did not know what he was doing. So in some of the pictures that I was able to find, there's oil and transmission fluid all over the boardwalk. You know, because again, this Jeep was upside down and on its side at one point. So I mean, they just did a really piss poor job of pulling this Jeep out of the water,
Josh,
especially since it was already just sitting nice and square and flush.
Yeah. Hey, you blew through the show notes there. We have a clip from Fred, just a little clip here we were supposed to play. Let me play that now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fred.
Yes. Live from the crash site. Thank you, Fred.
Well, I mean, do you think that this guy really gave an F about this vehicle? And he just dragging that son of a bitch out with a log chain and a frickin' skid steer.
But aren't they liable for any damage they cause that's beyond the accident?
Fucking water. What a damage they caused. They don't give a shit. They got paid. Just drag that son of a bitch out and kick it into the ditch.
Well, they probably have more experience at this than we do. That maybe they know that in situations like this, they ain't going to get nothing anyway. So, I mean, they're not going to get sued anyway because the person's probably going to jail or worse. So,
correct. Yeah, it's true. They're like not going to get the amount of. I mean, because what a recovery. What's your average tow? I mean, you if you don't have AAA, you break down on the side of the road. You got to have you get a tow truck to come and tow you to a shop or tow you back to your house. I mean, that's going to be $180, $120, $200. I mean, the last time I knew somebody that parked in the wrong spot. And caught the tow truck as they were lifting up their vehicle. It was $100 to drop the car. So, I imagine a recovery of this nature, probably $400-$800. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big truck.
And they probably don't get paid for it. This is probably, the cops call them in and they get the discounts and all the rest of that crap.
Yeah. I doubt they're going to recover that money from the owner of this Jeep. I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
And of course, if you have a news tip response to any one of our stories, including this one, go check out the pictures and let us know what you have to say about it. You can do it by phone or by email. Just head over to jeeptalkshow.com/contact to find out how to reach out to us.
You're listening to a 4x4 Radio Network podcast.
We've got something for everybody over there, and it's all kinds of different off-road shows. So it doesn't matter really what kind of off-roading you're into. So tell your friends about it. The Center Steer podcast, the Trail Chasers podcast, the On the Trail podcast, the 4x4 podcast. It's the web's best off-roading podcast, and it's all in one place. Oh, yeah, the Jeep Talk Show is there, too. It's all at the 4x4RadioNetwork.com website. We'll see you there.
Ah, I see what you did. You're making time to talk about the XJ. Coming up in Tech Talk, we'll talk with Josh about his latest engine rebuild and some of the things he discovered along the way. And again, my condolences, Josh.
Well, the dead hooker was already in there, I swear.
I thought he learned how to work on Jeeps.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and in the Zoom room, you guys talked about, has your Jeep ever been vandalized? And I'm sad to say that yes, my beautiful bright red 1996 Jeep Cherokee has been vandalized by none other than Tammy, aka Jeep Mama. She put a sticker on my Jeep that said, "Black Jeeps Rock," and it's still on there today. It just won't come off. Well, that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling to tell you that a friend of mine asked me to give him a brief explanation of what an acorn is. Yeah, in a nutshell, it's an oak tree.
Gosh dang it.
18% funnier, baby. All right, boys and girls, I'll chat you later. You have a good one. Bye.
Well, he did get a chuckle out of two out of the four hosts, so...
So what Nikki G is saying is that sticker that's on there is like herpes. It may come out, off, but it just shows right back up.
It's
the gift that keeps on giving.
As a proud owner of multiple black Jeeps, I can tell you that she wasn't completely wrong.
Here, here.
You bastards.
You got tech questions?
What do I ever...
Have answers.
Oh, that's good, because I
it's Tech Talk with Jeep Talk.
Yahoo!
So in the last episode, last flagship episode 750, we kind of left you all hanging a little bit as far as where things stand with my Jeep. And for those who aren't up to speed, I own a 1999 Jeep Cherokee XJ. I'm basically the second owner of it. I bought it off of a girl who bought it off of her parents, who were the original owners. And it's got almost a 250,000 miles on it, but had some issues with it where I was forced to do a partial engine rebuild, and that rebuild didn't last. Less than 500 miles later, the engine blew, and well, not completely blew, but what had happened was one of the lifters kind of got frozen, and it shaved a lobe on the cam, and so the engine had to be completely torn apart. And so that's where it sat, torn apart for about 3 years until I was able to amass enough parts and finally get to the point of where I was able to work on it. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to work on it. There's a large demand on my time. I've got a lot of things going on, and it wasn't one of those things to where I could just, you know, pick up a couple few weekends and get it done. I needed a block of time, to where I wasn't going to be bugged and I could actually get some serious amount of work done. So I had to take a week off of work. Not exactly something I wanted to take that much time off of work for. I'm not a guy that takes vacations. I don't. I might take a couple few days here, a couple few days there, have a 4 or 5 day weekend here and there, and that's about it. I've never taken like a 2 week block of time off before or anything like that. So even this, I took 4 days off. So I had 6 days essentially to do this. I've never had that much free time on my hands, as it were. And so a lot of work got done very quickly. And I was able to focus on things and get a lot done. Now, unfortunately, I ran into several problems. And one of those of which I actually made a YouTube short video about. And it was about getting the right gasket for your Jeep. Now, for the 99 Jeep Cherokee inline 6, the 4-liter, it's got a unique head profile. I was told by a company out here called Portland Engine Rebuilders that the 1999 4-liter inline 6 is a one-year-only casting, meaning that that particular block was only available in the 99. And for some reason, the head kind of follows the same sort of suit. Historically, the 1999 intake manifold and head is the highest flowing out of all of the heads and inline and manifolds that they used on the inline sixes. So it's very sought after. That's not the reason why I bought this Jeep. So with the lobe on the cam being shaved, I was worried about a lot of debris in the engine. And so during the disassembly process, I was very careful about what was allowed to sort of come off the engine and in what way. And then so there was a lot of stuff that went into the engine. And of course, with the head being pulled off, the engine more or less fully exposed for the better part of 2.5 years or more, I was worried about what all got into the engine. So I was worried about debris in there. It could be everything from a pine needle to just metal dust to regular dust to just whatever else was in the air that managed to float down and get into the engine. I've got pets, and I live in a windy area, so there was no telling. I had to do a good engine flush and rinse every component as I was going through this. And so one of the things I was very worried about in the initial startup was whether or not I was going to end up seizing the engine because I missed a piece of metal or something, or I was going to blow a piston wall or, you know, shave a piston ring or something like that and end up with more damage than what I would be able to fix and end up having to do an engine replacement after just rebuilding this engine twice. So obviously a lot of nerves in this. And so when it came time, the moment of truth, everything was put back together. I had flushed the engine as best as I could. All the fluids were in it. Everything was hooked up, and I was ready to, for the moment of truth, and start it up. The batteries had been sitting around for a couple few years. I was worried about voltage. They had gotten on a charge kind of last minute, according to my multimeter, both of them had over 12 volts still. And so put them in. Here we go. Went in to start it up, and it did fire. It fired right up, in fact. And, of course, there was lights on in the dash all over the place. I did not have oil pressure right away. That was something that I was worried about. But that only lasted for a couple of few seconds. And immediately the oil pressure had come up, and we were all good. So, in the video that I posted of the startup, there was some smoke that you could see in the video.
That's normal, though. I gotta say, it's normal.
And so I would agree with you. If it weren't for the fact that I had forgotten a ratchet strap on the exhaust that I was using to sort of help align the downpipe to the header as I was getting everything bolted in and put on.
Oh, good. It's nylon smell that's going to be there for 42,000 miles.
Well, thankfully, there was enough dirt on the exhaust and that scraped off. But yes, that was melting plastic that you saw coming up through the engine compartment from underneath the Jeep,
good.
Where I had a ratchet strap around the crossover from the downpipe going back to the cross member and the transmission mount to where I could kind of get some force and finagle that exhaust into place to where it could made up with the header just fine.
And I'll just say, good dramatic effect for the YouTube video. So I would just say that you did it on purpose.
Oh no. I'll admit my faults and mistakes when I make them. I take ownership for what I do and stuff. And that was definitely something that I had overlooked. And trust me, I knew there was going to be something. With as nervous as I was, I'm surprised I even remembered to put oil in the damn thing.
Oh God!
So I mean, it was checklist after checklist after checklist going through. Okay, electrical a check. Go through all of the injectors. Okay, you know, all of my sensors. Okay, is the OBD2 family all in check? Everything's there. So you know, I was going through everything with a fine tooth comb. I just didn't climb underneath the Jeep to remember that goddamn ratchet strap. So now I'm down one ratchet strap, and you guys may in recent episodes of the Jeep Talk Show know how much I put a value in the ratchet straps.
Yeah.
So a couple more days of working on the Jeep. I think I fired that up Friday or Saturday. Monday, I don't think I drove the Jeep. No, Monday I didn't drive the Jeep in. I came home from work Monday. I had several things to do, including the final oil change, because there was a break-in procedure with the cam that requires you to do certain things with the RPM and engine load and stuff like that as you're breaking in a new camshaft. And once that's done, oil comes out, new oil in with the break-in additives and all that sort of stuff, high zinc additives, you know, all that kind of good rot. And so that's what I'm in right now. I'm in with a break-in oil in the engine as it's running right now. The first drive was, to be honest, a little bad. I drove it to work Tuesday morning, the first time that Jeep had been driven in like 3 years. And the flat spots on the tires became very apparent very quickly because those flat spots on the tires pointed out just every last little weak link that I have in my front end. And the death wobble came, and oh boy, did it come hard. And it wasn't the worst death wobble I've ever experienced, but I had to take back roads all the way to work because I couldn't go over about 35, 40 miles an hour. And so,
but you're saying you got there.
I got there. I did get there. Now, on the way back, it was dark, and I had several more issues, including electrical issues. My headlights were not working properly. They were going dim at some points. Wow. They wouldn't work at all. The brights weren't working at all, period. Come to find out, what had happened was the headlight switch had come loose. The actual bulkhead from which the switch butts up against on the backside and gets screwed to from the front had broken, and that allowed the plug and the switch and the whole mechanism to kind of sort of hang loosely and sort of start to separate a little bit. So that got all fixed up, but the relays also after, because I've got an upgraded headlight harness in there, the relays for both the headlights and the brights after not working for 3 years were a little sticky. So they just needed to be energized a bunch of times in a row and get the micro switches working and stuff like that. So had those. So yeah, that's one thing that if you let electrical sit for too long, Even though this Jeep was garaged, the entire time, that's a long time sitting, and relays kind of will get sticky over time.
You may have saved the Jeep any longer than this. A lot of more things may have gone bad on it. Did you have any of the issues with the gas? Because I would assume the gas was 3 years old.
So I've got some idle issues. It's not idling very smooth, and I believe a lot of that is it's just 3 year old gas. I have not put new gas in it yet. I'm wanting to drain the tank down.
Sure.
It had about 3/4 of a tank in it when it got parked. So there's a bit of gas I got to go through. Good thing I only get about 10 miles to the gallon in this.
You got $1,200 of gas in there.
Well, and here's the other thing. So I had to air down to compensate for the flat spots on the tires. So I had to soften those tires up. So right now I'm only running about 10 pounds in the front and barely even squatting the sidewalls on the pro comps that I'm running. I have not put the Nexans on yet. I'm kind of still in the break-in period, gonna get shaking things down a little bit still. The Nexans will go on soon, but there's some other stuff going on with that. Kind of a debate. I'm deciding whether or not I'm going to sell the pro comps with the wheels, or if I'm going to dismount the Pro Comps and put the Nexans on the wheels that I have. If I sell the Pro Comps with the wheels, I may be able to fund an entire new wheel set. And so that's an attractive option. Or possibly even just buy another set of the wheels that I have and have some money left over to do some other things. You know, I don't know. So I'm kind of asking the listeners for a little bit of advice too, which direction I should go. Should I sell my fake beadlocks with the Pro Comps on them and get either the exact same wheels or something different? Or should I put the Nexans on the wheels that I have?
Well, Josh, I just want to say that I am so excited to hear I'm not the only one with a giant piece of shit Jeep on this show.
Oh, no. This thing's going to be BPOS 3.0.
Dang it. I got to buy another one then. You can't be 3.0, man. You got to be like 6 or 7 down the road.
I'll be 4.0 then. How about that?
So let me ask you.
4.0. That works.
So let me ask you. Actually, let me ask Chuck. Chuck, you've got a bunch of Jeeps that sit for long periods of time since they're old, and you have you don't really take them out, which I could be wrong about. But if you have flat spots on tires, is there a way you can keep that from happening? Nobody wants their Jeep to sit for a long time, but after a couple of months, do you put it up on jacks or?
So like Dad's Jeep. So we don't really drive Dad's Jeep too much. I mean, Josh, my son, stole his tires for a run and then put them back on. Like, we won't let Dad know that. But, yeah, we've got blocks. So we'll just pick the axles up, stick them underneath the axles so the tires aren't sitting on the ground. And then I do what Josh does, like on my cow Jeep or the CJ5 or whatever. You just air them suckers down and you drive up and down the road with them a little bit on the soft side, and those flat spots will go away. But on a nicer Jeep like my dad's, you pick them up off the rubber.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we had a Discord, one of our listeners on the Discord server actually gave you the idea on Discord. You reported death wobble the first day that you drove it, and they said, hey, air down, because that's what he had to do.
Yeah, and I want to give thanks to listener JT Swick, I believe is what he goes by on our Discord server, for the airing down advice to the compensator to eliminate the flat spots. That ended up working out really well. He said he went down to 15 on his, what'd he say? It was like 37-inch Nitto grapplers or something
right,
like that.
Right, that's right.
For those. And it worked out really good for him. A little bit softer compound on those tires than these. And so I dropped down to 19 when I was at the shop before I left. And then when I got home, I dropped them down another 9, 10 pounds. So I'm sitting at about 9, 10 pounds right now, which is normally right about where I wheel, give or take a few pounds or something like that. So, which is odd because it feels really weird. The front end is all soft and squishy right now to compensate for those flat spots. But and of course, you know, I'm probably only getting about 8 or 9 miles to the gallon now, from my usual 10 or 11 at best. But it's this thing is just getting going again. So there's going to be a little bit of time where as I work out some bugs and get some things dialed back in, it's got some more work to do. I still have another oil change to do. Obviously, the Nexans have to go on it. I've still got a bunch of other stuff that the Jeep needs to have done. I mean, parts that I've been collecting for years and whatnot. So there's still lots of work to do on this Jeep. But for right now, it's back up and running. I am driving it, and I'm going to at least go another 500 miles before I change out the brake oil. And at that point, I'm going to try and head up to my closest wheeling spot. And I'm going to try at least put this thing through through some mud and some trails a little bit to get some wheeling in.
That's bitching, man. Slow and steady. That's how you build these Jeeps. You know, when you're doing it yourself and it's your own, like, slow and steady, man. Just keep at it. It'll be bitching.
I've had this Jeep for, God, I don't know, 15 years or something like that. I mean, it's been a long time. I think this is the...
it was your daily driver for a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, it was for damn near a decade, I think.
This is a Jeep you had when you started on the show. So this is the Jeep that you've had.
Before the show.
I'm sorry, but I'm not saying that you didn't have it before, but you've had it since you started here on the show. It's always been that XJ.
12 years or something like that. So yeah.
So hear me out on this. This is, I think, a great idea for a YouTube video. You want to air up those tires to what they're supposed to be. It looks like you're writing this down. Good. Write this down. Air up your tires so that the death wobble comes back. Order one of those load soil flexible magnetic tool holders. Put the camera on that and some tools and do a stress test. Let's see if this thing will hold.
Good night.
On the hood.
Yeah.
And then you need a chase vehicle that will take, you know, tools into the windshield.
You know, it's funny that that you mentioned the video and the death wobble, because I was thinking to myself, how many people have been listening to this for how many years who have heard the term death wobble don't know what it's like?
Maybe experienced it, but never seen it.
Right. You know, they may have heard about it and know what it is, but have never experienced it or really seen it from a driver's standpoint. And I was thinking to myself,
that's true.
Worthwhile to just hook up a camera and, you know, try and put myself into a tree or something for the sake of content.
For the sake of the listener. I mean, you're looking at it wrong. The sake of the listener. You got to sell it right, Josh.
I'm going to sell this Jeep for what it's worth now. Fuck, I can get $10,000 for this thing right now, at least.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Can't. No, you cannot.
I'll show you a picture of a Jeep that just sold for $9,000 that has half the mods that this one does.
So,
Josh, you fucking spaghetti underneath your hood. I'm looking at the picture right now. Like, there is
that
no.
That was before it was all buttoned.
That is right.
Yeah, that's before. It doesn't look like that now.
Oh, it's like
it's all tie wrapped and scotch taped. It looks great.
Yeah, so like the picture that's in the show notes was, I mean, like, everything was at the bare minimum in order for me to start the Jeep. Is this going to work? I mean, I wasn't going to put the whole Jeep back together before I found out that it was. Yeah,
so you know what, it's like making the bed before you have sex in it. Like, let's try the sex out first.
You know, so I mean, it would have been like, you know, a couple hours worth of work just to undo the front end, just to get back into being able to start pulling pulleys and things like that. So now there is one thing that I wish I would have taken the time to do, and that was the electric fan. I put the Saturn View fan that I have in there now back in, even though I did not want to run that. I have a brand spanking new Ford Taurus fan that's ready to go in. Well, almost. I need to do some modifications to that and get it ready, get some bracketry made and fabbed up and stuff like that. But for all intents and purposes, that's ready to go. But I was so anxious that this Jeep was running that I wanted to drive it. And the fastest way to do that was to put back in the fan that I knew that worked, that I already had the bracketry fabbed up for, and just to get it driving. So that's where I'm at right now. And so there is one more modification that I need to tear the front end back apart.
Oh, there's going to be many more. I know what you're saying, but there's going to be many more, especially if this thing becomes dependable and you get past that 500 mile mark, and there's going to be all kinds of things you're going to be doing to it.
Well,
and that's great, because the listener is going to have more to hear about the XJ, which we've actually had people reaching out wanting the more XJ information. So anyway, the listener can look forward to hearing more stuff about your Jeep, your XJ, and back on the road. Hopefully back on the trail very soon.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. So as promised, we're going to talk about the Gladiator. I know Chuck was looking forward to this. More about the Gladiator and the criminal mischief that happened at Sam's Club. So last episode, we told you about the unprovoked attack of the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator that occurred on a bright, sunny weekday morning at Sam's Club. Getting the sheriff's office to pick up the damn security footage from Sam's was a pain in the ass.
Why? Isn't that their job?
You would think so, but apparently it just really depends on what they're forced to do in their job. So I had
to protect some, and serve.
Well, yeah. Well, come on. anyway, so yeah. I had a police come by and take the report. File the report, give me a case number, and then they said. Now I don't know if they were dispatched someplace else, but they said they were going to go to Sam's and pick up the security footage, which is what I would expect. I mean, I wouldn't think that you use 3/4 of the force to work one case, but I've never been a police officer. I don't know. Anyway, so after a couple of days, I contacted the Sam's Club guy again, the guy that's in asset protection, and he says, nope, nobody came by. So I called somebody at the sheriff's department, which all I could do is leave a voicemail, because you can't talk to anybody. And after a couple of days,
the officers that took your took the report didn't give you their cards.
No, they didn't.
After all the times that my Honda was stolen, that one Honda that I had that was stolen from me 5 different times, each time that an officer came to take the report, I got a card. Mm-hmm. I had a contact number.
I have something that says citizen's information card, and it gives me the case number, the offense title, and the deputies that show up that I inconveniently cannot make out what the names are, and a unit number. Report filed is what I've got. Anyway, so I finally heard back from somebody. I think it was victim communication or something. I heard back from them, and they said probably the best thing to do is to get the Sam's, and think about this, to get the guy at Sam's to call the non-emergency number and schedule a pickup. So I'm going to ask this guy that has no vested interest in finding this perpetrator to call and wait whatever, how many of minutes.
And I was going to say, that's not a phone call that just happens in a few minutes. I mean, you're going to be on hold for a while.
Yeah. So I called the guy and talked to him. He said, yeah, sure. I have to do this from time to time. I'll do that. So he calls it in, schedules the pickup. As far as I know, I trust the guy and I believe him. They didn't ever show up. They never came.
Oh, come on.
To get.
You got one job to do, dude.
Yeah. They never showed up to come get the information. So the most recent thing I did was, I mean, I actually called the lady, the victim support lady that I had spoken to. She was very helpful. And remind me, she's got a 96 XJ. Nice. Yeah. So she said probably the best thing to do is to go to Sam's and have the officer contact you, and then you guys can get the security video and so on and so forth. So I went up to Sam's today and spent an hour and a half sitting in the parking lot waiting for the sheriff's department to show up.
Jeez, man.
They now have the video footage. And I asked the guy, very friendly guy, works at Sam's Club, actually showed me a little bit of the video on his phone. Nothing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, nothing major, but when he was actually, the guy was actually doing the damage to the Jeep. And I asked him, I said, I know from what I found out last week that your video is only kept for about a week. Could you make a backup copy of what you gave the police just in case they lose it? Nothing against the Harris County Sheriff's Office, but there's so many people involved in this, and it's like people working on my Jeep. It's nobody's going to give my Jeep the attention that I will. So he says, no, absolutely. I've got a copy of it. So now if it gets lost or overwritten or whatever on the video surveillance stuff, and with at least 21 cameras, I could imagine it gets overwritten. I'm surprised it goes a week. So there's a copy of it. So hopefully this is going to work out. Now I'll be making a call to the victim communication person who I have their direct number, which is huge. I told her, I said,
being able to get a hold of somebody.
Yeah. I told her, it really is her job to deal with the victims, but I still wouldn't want them having my direct
number. This is the one with the 96XJ.
Perhaps a new listener, because I had got to sell that while I'm talking on the phone.
I was going to ask, did you at least mention the show, Tony?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
You had a captive audience there. So
we talked a little bit about the XJ, and she bought the XJ fairly recently, I believe, $7,500, but it does have 90K miles on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's making payments on this.
God damn it. Oh, making payments on a 96 Jeep.
Yeah. So Chuck, when Josh says 10,000, it probably is too high depending on the modifications he's got on there. But yeah, I mean, the Jeep Cherokees are very expensive right now. It's just amazing.
So are eggs.
That's true.
Eggs. But no one gives a shit.
Josh may trade for eggs.
Easy now.
A carton of eggs. That's an even.
I like a breakfast burrito as much as the next guy, but come on now.
And with the death wall, you could scramble those eggs. Unfortunately, the Jeep won't be there anymore. So I'll be making a call back to this the victim's communication officer. Probably she recommended Monday or Tuesday just to verify that they have the information, the security information in their system. She told me that it has been greenlit by her sergeant to be investigated. So they feel I have enough information based on what I told her, that what they should see on the Sam's Club video, that when that comes in, that the investigation officer who sits right next to her, ding, 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 will be able to investigate this and find out the information. So being greenlit, of course, I found out. Sometimes on the Discord server, some of the listeners told me that nothing's going to come of this. They're not going to work this case. Nothing will ever happen. You're going to have to use your insurance and get it fixed and just go on with your life. Yep. And I'm sure several of our listeners are going, would you please go on with your life at this point? So I will tell you that I have been able to find out a little information as far as if this is a reality or not. And I've heard that many times, and you probably can understand this, everybody can probably understand this, because the emotion that's involved in having something damaged or stolen, many times people think they have more evidence than they do. Having this investigation move forward is their belief that I have provided and collected enough evidence to bring this person to justice.
So that means the DA is considering that there's enough evidence here that they can actually get a charge to stick and book this guy.
Yeah. I mean, if there's no evidence of the damage being occurred, that this person occurred, doing this damage actually occurred, you really can't, prosecute somebody.
Well, and even just a person, just somebody random walking through the parking lot, you're likely never going to track that person down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would be the smart way of doing it.
Yeah. But since there's a membership card and video footage and a license plate and vehicle, everything else, there's so many different things to connect this person to this action. I'd say that you have a pretty good chance. And that's coming from somebody who's had a car stolen 5 times and only seen justice once.
Yeah.
No, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. You've listened to all the back episodes. It was like recording night.
I just forget.
And Josh going, well, the Honda got stolen again. Holy crap.
There was one time that we started recording and I had to run
that's
out.
That's right.
Yeah, because I heard my alarm going off, which is... I mean, pretty impressive considering how much sound reinforcement that I've got in this studio, and once I have my headphones are on, I can barely hear anything that's, you know, farther away than 3 feet from me. And the fact that I was able to just barely pick up the alarm going off, had to take off my headphones, like, yeah, no, that's a car alarm. Shit, that's my car alarm, you know, and yeah, then drop my headphones, run out of the studio, out into the driveway, just in time to see somebody tear down my driveway and get off into another car and tear up off the street. And there's my car having just been broken into.
Yeah, it was a comic thing after a while. It wasn't no fun for you, but yeah, for the show, no. It was a very much a comedic thing that we had on the show.
So anyway, I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so with all your drama that you're doing with yours, just so I know what to look for, is this episode going to be called Days of Our Lives or Young and the Restless? I just need to know.
No, I'm trying to think of something that would be more along the lines, but something I like the way you're going with that. I'll get back with you.
Dynasty.
Yeah.
Dynasty. Certainly not a daytime soap opera. This has got to be one of those high dollar nighttime evenings, prime
Yellowstone. Time. Jellystone.
Because
it sounds like a modern day manly sitcom. Or not sitcom, whatever the hell they're called during the day, drama.
So I'm gonna muscle on here and go and continue on, even though Chuck doesn't approve. So I stopped by the local body shop today to get an estimate of the repair. Now, this isn't actually to get the repair. It will determine if it's a misdemeanor or a felony.
Because they're going to associate a dollar figure with this crime, essentially. Right. How much it's going to take to get this Jeep back to the way it was before this happened.
Yeah. And I did have that
dollar figure yet?
No. They're going to email me, and you know they're going to do whatever they're going to do. Pretend they're going to come up with a number. So anyway, I did have the license plate number of the vehicle that I suspected was the vehicle, the owner that did this. Had no evidence, but once I got the evidence, I actually started trying to actively look up the owner's name that it was associated.
Private investigator type
right
of
online
work.
Of course I got to stay in the house, and so I found out, and this is a change. I haven't tried to look up a license plate for a long time, but this is a change in the law. The state of Texas does not legally allow people to find out the owner of a vehicle by name looking up their
I'll
license
send that information
plate
up here to me. I don't have those restrictions here in Oregon.
By looking up their license plate or VIN. So I have a connection to the legal community, and using that, I have the name and address of the perpetrator.
Oh, I wonder if he's listening right now, because, I mean, there's no way that he didn't notice Jeep Talk Show all over that Gladiator. And so I'm wondering if maybe he's just like, I'm going to listen to see if they say if they say anything about what I did. You know, kind of so he can get some recognition or something like that. I mean, not that he's going to be like, yeah, I'm the one that did it. Ha ha. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have him on the show. So from what I know now, it appears this guy purchased this 2022 GMC Sierra pickup truck in November. So this is a brand new vehicle that he purchased in November.
He was wearing blue jeans and a green jacket. It was a Tuesday, and the wind was coming out of the east, approximately 5 miles an hour.
At the time of the event, he was wearing scrubs.
Oh, come on, man. A medical professional dude.
According to the internet, he is a registered nurse and probably works at one of the very nearby hospitals.
Tony, Is something in the back of your head asking the question, did I do something in traffic to this guy at some point in the past? And he recognized the Jeep. He may not have been driving that GMC Sierra at the time. Maybe it was in October and you didn't let him in or something like that. And this guy just carried a grudge, and just so happened that 4 months later, he sees your Jeep and is like, that mother effer. That's the one. That's the guy. F him. Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Yeah, I don't care.
Do you think it's a possibility?
I mean, anything is a possibility, although I hadn't been driving in traffic for quite some time. But I don't really care. I mean, if you got a problem with me, come up to me and tell me about it. And we'll talk about it. But this kind of bullshit, just hang around. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. I'll be happy to straighten your ass out. And but that's not the way it went down. And now it's going to be a lot worse than if he had just manned up and talked to me about it. And I don't like this. I don't like that. And I'd say, I don't care. Go away. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So what was it, Chuck?
It's unfortunate that this has the potential to be a felony, but you know, I tell all my guys and I tell my kids this, and it's something that is very dear to my heart. And it's you can choose your actions or you can choose your consequence. You can't choose both. So unfortunately, he chose his action. So the consequence is going to be chosen for him, and that's unfortunate. You know, I mean, as adults, as all adults, you know, the three of us that are sitting on this show, I think that most of us, most of the time, choose our consequence. You can have actually positive consequences in life. So our actions are dictated by where we want to be in the future, right? And this guy just let, you know, and as a former medical professional myself, I understand the stresses that come on with, you know, having people's lives in your hands. He let it get better. He got the better of him, maybe. So he chose his actions, and that's the drizzle and shits, man. Because it could have long-term consequences for him.
Yeah, it really could.
And that sucks.
Yeah, and I don't really care for that. But it's really important to me that whenever somebody does something out in the world like this, they need to be held accountable so that maybe they don't do it to the next person. Because you know. That if he did this broad daylight in a busy parking lot and nothing happens to him, it's going to happen again.
And I'm surprised that this you know, it was a grown-ass adult that did this. I expected, you know, a couple of teenagers running through the parking lot were the ones that did it. Come to find out it's a guy that just bought a brand new 2022 truck, and he's an RN. Come on, man. I don't know, man.
And according to what I've looked up online, he is 68 years old.
Oh my God!
Got to be old enough to know better, too.
Man, you have to really wonder. Been
pissed off.
You have to wonder why. And keep in mind, I just parked in the parking spot behind him. He had pulled in through the spot I was in and pulled into the next one, I believe, because that's just the way it looked. I mean, he could have backed in. These aren't straight lanes, these are slanted. So he would have been going against the traffic when he left or have to make a really wide turn.
Right.
So he just probably pulled in across the other side. And in his defense, it's very hard to do that with a pickup truck because no sure. matter how well you know that truck, and he obviously didn't know it, he hadn't had it very long, you never pull up far enough or you pull up too far. You're never actually in the parking spot. So whenever I pulled into the parking spot, he was slightly a corner of the bumper was still in my parking spot, and I was able to pull up. I just want to make sure I got my ass out of the way, and forgive me, but fuck him. He can learn how to park. And at 68, I think I understand why he can't park. But he wasn't square in the spot, so he was taking up room in the other spot.
Were you right up against his bumper? I mean, was there like
I was close. I was absolutely close, but I didn't hit him.
No.
But no. And that's the reason why I suspected this was the guy that did this, because he probably didn't like the idea that somebody was pulled up so close to his precious baby. And the thing I really don't understand, and this probably keeps me from doing stuff like this, is, yeah, I can probably do it, and I can take the abuse if somebody catches me or whatever, fine. But the idea that if I do this, that means somebody else may do it to mine. If I'm willing to cross that line, if I'm willing to cross that line, then somebody else probably is too. So I'm going to do the right thing. And if I really have a problem, I'll just wait. But I don't. I mean, I'm not going to just talk to somebody because they didn't park right. I'm just going to park in my spot, and I'm not going to hit your vehicle. And it wasn't like I parked next to his door or anything where he couldn't get out. I just pulled up to the bumper, and all he had to do was get in and drive off like he would have normally. But he didn't. He got in, or he got to his parking spot, and he keyed my vehicle simply because he didn't like how close I was to his baby.
Yeah.
Not considering that his baby, that could happen to his baby. And I'm not going to do anything, of course, but given the information that I received, I certainly could do something to his baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have the man's physical address.
Yeah, no need to stoop to his level.
No, of course not. I'm just saying that this is something you have to consider when you're thinking about damaging somebody's vehicle. And I'm not talking about making veiled threats. I'm talking for other people out there that have done this, that are listeners, or consider it. I mean, considering something isn't against the law. It's not getting you in trouble. It's like what Chuck was just saying. You can choose your actions or you can choose your consequences, but not both. So choose your actions when you go out there. And don't damage somebody else's vehicle. I don't care if it's a Tesla. Then there's Tesla haters out there for it, which I find very strange. And if it's a Toyota or a Prius or whatever, a Toyota pickup or a Prius or anything, just leave people's stuff alone. Really, that's really what it boils down to. Anyway, so keep listening to the Jeep Talk Show for more information on this developing story. Don't forget about our interview with Sean Marks and Jared. I still can't pronounce that name. I think about the second one. Jared Pepperdine. Jared of America's Most Wanted 4x4. That's AMW4X4.com. And I'll mention this again. They put Hemis in Jeeps. I mentioned it twice because it's just so damn cool.
You know what else is cool is the Jeep Talk Show newsletter. That's right. It's coming out at least once a week, sometimes more than that. And it is very easy to sign up for it. You're going to get a ton of great information about what's happening here on the show, what's going on behind the scenes, what's coming up in the future, your best opportunity to win one of our giveaways, stuff like that. But it also has the information that you need to join us as we record one of our famous roundtable episodes. It's a lot of fun, and we hope that you can join us next Tuesday. It's happening every Tuesday. And all that information is in our newsletter. Head over to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and sign up for the Jeep Talk Show newsletter today. Well, that's all the Jeep Talk Show there is for now, Jeeper. Until our next show, if you would like to partner up with JTS and what we're doing over here, we'd have three different levels to choose from, all available on our website. And as always, thank you for listening to the world's largest, most downloaded Jeep podcast. I've been doing this with Tony for well over 10 years now, and I just want to thank each and every one of our listeners for making that possible. In other words, it's all your fault. So, yeah, thanks for that.
It'll all be taken care of in the sessions with the therapist that you have to do now because of all this.
Broadcasting since 2010.